Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here today and worship you. We thank you for those who came, even though we thought we weren't going to have very many today. We'd actually have a good class. Thank you that we're able to talk to Steve, even though he's all the way in Italy. Pray that you'd help him on his quest and on his teaching that starts on Tuesday. Help us to honor you in all that we do and say today. I pray that you'd help those who are starting or have just started school, help them to have a clear mind to learn and be able to remember and retain the things that they learn. Help them with the financial parts of it, affording books and getting to and from and finding parking and all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at Mark chapter 5. Look, I put the marker in here. Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we have a really neat story about the maniac of Gadara. And he was a man who was possessed by demons and was living in and running around in and hanging out in the cemetery, basically terrorizing the people around there. Everybody knew of him. Everybody knew he was not someone to be messed with, if you will. And Jesus came and healed him in a miraculous way and sent the demons away. And that's not what we're going to talk about today, but that's one of my favorite Bible stories. And I remember hearing about it from someone who spoke very, very well at our RU program at a prior place where we used to go to church. And I just have a soft place in my heart for Mark chapter 5. And so this morning when I opened my Bible, it opened to Mark chapter 5. And I said, no, that's not what we're doing today. And so I went and I started working on what we were doing today. And I couldn't get anything out of it. And I couldn't get the Holy Spirit to prod me with anything there or anything else. And so I closed my Bible and I said a little prayer and I opened my Bible again and it opened to Mark chapter 5. And I said, okay.
I think it's because you have this cool marker.
I put this there, this shredded marker, yeah. I put this there this morning so I could find it when I got to church. No, it wasn't there. It was in Proverbs where we were going to be this morning. And
I'm picking on him.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I read Mark chapter 5 and I read about the maniac of Gadara and I was all excited and I loved that story and I'm like, yeah, that's not it. What is it? So I kept reading. So in Mark 5, we'll start in verse 21. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered. So on the one side, he just healed the maniac of Gadara. And he gets in a ship and he goes across the lake. And it says, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. This is Jairus, the ruler, falling at the feet of Jesus. This is not Jesus falling at the feet of the ruler of the synagogue, just to be clear. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, later in the story, we'll see that she was about 12 years old. But this man called her his little daughter. At this time in the Bible, little girls of age 12 were almost ready to move out in a couple of years, right? So it's his little daughter because it's his little daughter. It's his baby. No matter how old she is, she could have been 40. And in his heart, it's still his little daughter. So this man, very much in love with his little girl, as he should be, is looking for the one thing he believes can save her, because they knew that whatever she had, she was about to die. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Why would this be a bad thing? What?
This is because they didn't bathe.
They didn't bathe. That's the bad thing because they did not bathe. I'm sure there was a lot of BO issues in the crowd.
There's a lot of that in Italy, too.
Oh, no.
I imagine so.
Au naturel.
Yes. We'll talk in a minute about why this is a bad thing. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Let's think about that. She has an issue of blood. She's been to the doctor so many times she has no resources left, and it says she suffered many things of many physicians. What does that mean? Well, when we go to the doctor, they give you a pill. Pretty painless, you swallow the pill, that might make you better. Sometimes they do a surgical procedure or something they call internal medicine. When they do that, however, again they give you a drug and make it so you can't feel anything. Oftentimes you go to sleep, you wake up, it's done. Then when you start feeling pain from what they did while they were in there, they give you more drugs so you don't feel any pain. This woman has had this issue of blood for 12 years. She's been to many doctors. None of them had laughing gas. None of them could put her to sleep for the procedure, whatever the procedure may have been. None of them could do anything to help her. She had spent all of her resources to try to fix this. So whatever it was really bad. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she's pushing through all that BO you're experiencing there, Steve. She's pushing. She's fighting to get caught up to where Jesus is in the crowd. And she doesn't even feel like she has to ask him for help. She knows. She has so much faith that she knows if she can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, she'll be good to go. That's a lot of faith. She's seen every doctor that she could afford. They've done everything they could think of. It has not made her better. So she says, all I need to do is touch the hem of Jesus' garment and I'll be fine. That's a lot of faith. She's been through it. And straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. It was instantaneous. It wasn't, take one a day for 30 days and call me if symptoms don't improve. It was instantaneous. It stopped. She was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Do you really think that the creator of the universe, who knows everything before it happens, and can speak things into existence, didn't know who touched his clothes? Do you think there was any chance, there was any mystery here for him? I bet Jesus woke up.
There was a crowd.
There was a huge crowd. It says they could hardly get to him for the press. There was no mystery here. I bet Jesus woke up that morning and he said, morning, God, today's the day. She's getting healed. All those doctors put her through all that. She's getting healed. My child's not going to suffer anymore. Jesus had a place in his heart for those who had faith in God. He probably woke up thinking about Jairus, too, and his daughter. Jairus is going to have a hard day, but it's going to turn around on a dime for him. Jesus knew what was going to happen. There was no mystery here. Jesus asked this question for our benefit. He did this way so we could learn. He could have healed her and no one would have known it. But then we couldn't have this discussion this morning about BO in the crowd when Jesus healed the woman. Verse 31, he said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? They're like, get real. How can you possibly care who touched you? Everybody touched you. Everybody touched everybody. We're all suffering from everybody's BO. They're like, Jesus, who cares? Someone touched you, big deal. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Why was she afraid?
Because she touched God.
She touched God? Because the disciples were trying to get God across town to somewhere else? Because she's getting called out? If you're in a crowd and someone turns around and calls you out and starts talking specifically to you and everyone's silent and listening and trying to find out why they're talking to you, would you be a little afraid?
Yeah, I would be like,
right? I mean,
and it's kind of embarrassing what her problem was too.
Yes.
It's not, I mean, I'm assuming even then it wasn't like everyone was like, hey, guess what I have going on, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing.
There was no HIPAA laws, but there was no patient privacy, but no one wanted to talk about this issue.
Yeah.
So she told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Jesus stopped all forward progress. Jesus stopped saving a 12-year-old girl. How many of you have ever seen one of those movies or one of those TV shows where the anticipation is just, it's edge of your seat, and they're trying to get somewhere in time to save someone's life?
Or they're trying, yesterday.
Or they're trying to get somewhere in time to keep the bomb from going off, or they're, you know, whatever the plot of the movie is, the intensity is there's a limited amount of time here and we gotta keep moving. And they do all kind of things to break the laws and get through traffic. And they'll hurt people to get to they'll hurt one person to save someone else or to save a group of people, or they'll do all these crazy things to get across town. Well, someone touched Jesus in a crowd, and the disciples are trying to go save this 12-year-old girl's life. And it's a ruler's daughter, so she's an important person, right? They're trying to save her life, and Jesus just stops. It's like, who touched me? Why? What was important about that interaction? Well, it was life-changing for the lady he touched.
She was trying to get healed.
She was trying to get healed. That was life-changing for her.
Mm-hmm.
What is it supposed to show us?
Her faith.
Her faith. But Jairus had faith.
But she went to Jesus when she needed something. And like, we need to have the faith that once... Like, she didn't expect Jesus to come to her,
right,
and go and do it like Jairus did. He needed Jesus to come to his daughter to heal. Where she just said, if I just but touch him, if I just get with him, then everything will be okay.
Well, and assuming she was Jewish under Mosaic law, when it's that time for a woman, they're not even supposed to be touching anybody.
Yeah, they're considered unclean.
Yeah.
And they had to hang out outside the camp.
Like when they were wandering.
When they were wandering in the desert and they had the tabernacle, they had the camp set up a certain way. They had a border to the camp. And if you sinned and went and confessed your sin and made sacrifice, the priest would say to you, you're absolved, but you're unclean for this amount of time, and you'd have to go stay outside the camp. Women who were having that time of month, their issue of blood, their period, whatever you want to call it, were told, you're unclean, go outside the camp.
What did they do outside the camp?
They probably sat somewhere else to... They probably had,
I'm sure
for the women going through
that time. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Outside the border of the camp, I'm sure they had a place set up for this.
Okay,
right?
Like, stand up there?
No. They didn't go say, sleep with the rattlesnakes. Yeah, we lost Steve. It said reconnecting, but it didn't reconnect. Yeah, they didn't send him out there to sleep with the rattlesnakes in the desert. I'm sure they had a place set up. But...
What happened?
It just said reconnecting and then you were gone.
Oh, and it just died on my end. Not died, but just disappeared.
Yeah, it lied. It said reconnecting and then disconnected, so.
I have no idea.
So, yeah, she was going against the norm for a woman in her situation. She was acting on faith. She was taking the request to Jesus. But Jesus stopped. In the middle of all the rush and the obvious need to get to Jairus' daughter, Jesus stopped for one person who was already healed. Now, do any of you believe that when you're praying to God, He has to stop hearing all the other people who are praying to listen to you? Do any of you believe that when God is moving and working in your life, He's ignoring everyone else, all the rest of His children? No. But He will do whatever it takes to help His children. Someone who has faith in Him will get what they need from Him, no matter what. And He stopped so that He could talk to her about her faith. He stopped so He could tell everyone in the crowd and everyone who reads the Bible and show His disciples an example of faith and what faith does. Because if He had just brushed past her touching His hem of His garment and just gone on and healed Jairus' daughter, that would have been the headline of the day. Jairus' daughter healed. No one would have known about this. No one would have known that this faith did this for her. Might have been less embarrassing for her. Might have been less scary for her. But He took care of her. And you notice that the only thing He required after He took care of her was for her to acknowledge to other people that God did something for her. Has God done anything for you? Have you acknowledged it? Have you told anybody else about it recently? Mrs. Dawson had a story about getting pulled over by the sheriff and witnessing to him and giving him a tract. When you get pulled over, when you're driving, is the first thing you're thinking about where the sheriff is going to spend eternity? No? It's not? Really?
I haven't been pulled over in a really long time.
All right, let's finish out and see what happens with Jairus. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Do you think that's what was heavy on Jairus' heart? Oh no, I'm inconveniencing Jesus by asking Him to take a walk with me. It's not what Jairus is worried about. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with Him, His three beloved disciples, and He entereth in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the head, and saith unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." It's a little different than when I go in the morning and I try to poke Jeremiah or Julianne, and I'm like, "Get up." I don't put any formalities with it. I just go in there and I'm like, "It's time to get up. Get out of the bed. Don't sleep the day away. Time to get moving." Right? This is not what He did. He was very formal. He was very loving. Said, "My princess, wake up." He was very calm. you notice he's raising someone from the dead. He's sending everyone away so no one sees it. It's not about the show. That's how you know these healing televangelists are fake, because with them, it's only about the show. If they were really able to heal people, they wouldn't be in an auditorium with TV cameras. They'd be in the hospital, in the children's ward, walking into the rooms, taking the hands of the little girls and the little boys and saying, "My prince, my princess, arise, be healed." And they wouldn't take the cameras with them. And straightway, verse 42, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Who's they? Mom, dad, and the disciples. Should the disciples be surprised at this point by anything Jesus does? You wouldn't think so, but they were. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I mean, some people are going to figure it out. The whole family was there weeping and wailing, and on Saturday, the damsel's coming back to church, right? They all know she was dead. They scorned and laughed at Jesus for saying she was just asleep. And she's going to show up at church on Saturday, right? Because they went on the Sabbath, not on Sunday like we do. So on Saturday, they're all going to see her. They're going to be like, oh, she's alive. Why did Jesus tell them, don't tell anyone about it? There was a huge crowd. They just saw him heal another woman. They were all pressed up against him. What happens if someone shows up and says, I can raise the dead? And then he does it. Well, everybody would want to know that guy, right? So Jesus would leave the damsel's house, and Jairus would come running back out. Wait, my mom died last night. Come with me to the cemetery. I want my mom back. Wait, what about all the people in the crowd? Can Jesus just go raise everyone from the dead? If he wants to. If that was his will and his plan, he could do that. But the reason Jesus is saying, keep this calm, keep it a secret, is twofold. He doesn't want this craziness of everyone trying to get him to raise everybody and heal everybody. But he also wants you to believe, like we have to believe, on faith. Not on, I was sick and he healed me, so I know he's really God. Or not on, my daughter died and he raised her from the dead, so I know he's really God. Right? Those people had faith before the healing or the raising happened. He wants us to have faith in him without having to see these miracles. Right? We've spent the last month and a half talking about love. Well, we know that God loved us. You're here. That means, on some level, either out of obligation or out of love, you believe that you love God, and you probably do love God. I'm not saying you don't. What is our action? Keep my commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's it all based out of? Based out of faith. The Bible says earlier in Mark, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, be moved, and it would be moved. Boy, wouldn't that be useful when they were trying to build the trains across the country and the interstates and the... Oh, you get out of the way. All right, there's the road. Now go back, but don't block the road. Pretty cool, huh?
Save on dynamite.
Save on dynamite. Faith is how we activate or use our love for God. We have faith that when we die, we'll go to heaven because his word tells us. We have faith that he's paid for our sins because his word tells us. Faith is another concept that we'll probably never fully understand. Just like love. You could talk about love your whole life and never fully understand it or embody it. Only God can. Same thing with faith. But God, probably the only person who could understand faith, is the only person who doesn't need faith.
The use and the point in all of it is to be able to reach one.
Right?
As you are reaching.
Because it's God. Faith in God doesn't do God any good for himself. So how can we use faith today? How can we be a witness today? How can we show our faith today? Mrs. Dawson said she told the kids to pray when she got pulled over. What were they praying for? A bigger birthday cake next year? No, they were praying for not to get a ticket. Or maybe they were praying to be a witness to the officer. I don't know exactly what they were praying for, but it worked out well. And then Mrs. Dawson was humble enough to tell us all about it.
Yes, I would be like, ooh, I felt really
great
about that.
Jeremiah and JoJo would make sure it got out.
Yeah.
Did you get a ticket?
No, they didn't.
Mrs. Dawson, you're willing to tell the story if it doesn't end bad.
Well, Mrs. Dawson got pulled over for running a stop sign because she was distracted by the kids, but then was able to witness to the officer and leave him with a tract and did not get a ticket. So, that's the story. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you give it to us and you show us these stories. We thank you that you recorded the story about the lady with the issue of blood and how you healed her and how you'll take time for any of us no matter what else is going on. I pray that you'd help us to always bring our concerns to you first and have faith that you can take care of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.